the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us, coming right from training camp. Hi, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers for a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful. Visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Are you ready to fully emotionally invest and allow the Phillies to break your heart? 76% say yes. Elliot.
It's a good way to live life, honestly.
Bring it on.
The Duran thing is so cool. I don't know how you couldn't jump in.
Duran?
Okay.
Yes, right. Yeah, we're making sure everybody's doing it right on this.
So you are the accountability show. Yep. So.
But I hear you. They're saying yeah. But it is. I was thinking as I was saying that to you, you are somebody who not only I think would respect the intro, would actually put maybe even more emphasis and importance on even like how it affects the game, I would think.
I honestly think it has the ability to completely change around this entire thing.
See, just what I tell you.
The energy it brings. I think that's why people go to the ballpark now. I think people are driving to the ballpark now saying, I hope I see the intro.
I would agree with you.
Right?
And I agree with you.
I also think.
Now, how long before that wears off?
Well, if they keep winning 2-1 or 1-0,
that is how they win.
But but I do think this team was in desperate need of something new.
Juice.
I mean, this has got to be one of the longest core of players we've dealt with in Philly sports for a while. I mean, the Eagles have had some changes. Saquon comes in, that's a big piece. AJ comes in. The Sixers, it's like Jimmy Butler. But it's been the same seven guys on the Phillies for a really long time. There's not been someone that's come in and became a big part of it. And I think Duran could come in and give them something they desperately needed. So, yeah, I think he won't blow a save all year. Like, I think he's going to be perfect from here on out.
There it is. I love you.
I have like, zero doubt in that.
Well, he's probably
energetic. So,
you can just tell
so
special
maniacal,
when you see
bro.
It.
Yep.
Bro,
he got you. Did he get you?
No, he's maniacal.
No, yeah. I mean it. I texted Jack this last night and he didn't respond.
We don't need that hanging over us that he's not going to blow a save.
Dude, he did the first one in four pitches. Like, he is clearly coming in here and it's going to be special.
I agree. I'm just saying, you throwing out there, he's not going to blow a save the rest
of the
year.
I don't think he will.
You know the other thing that happened this?
I don't. You tell me after running out to that intro.
Save he's incoming tonight.
I know. Yeah, amen.
Now, by the way, for him, can you imagine
does
how
does he have any? Real quick, does he have any this year?
What? Blown
like
save?
Blown saves.
I think he has one.
Just one? Okay.
Yeah.
And that was for the Twins.
Well, I think he has one, and he's only allowed one home run this year. He doesn't allow home runs.
Yeah.
Well,
that's for sure.
Yeah, there it is. Clip that.
Right.
Yeah. Play that in October.
That's what I'm saying. We're jinxing him.
For him, too, just imagine the difference between that intro in Minnesota for a team that isn't very good to the way that people are looking forward to it now.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened this weekend, and I've been monitoring this because I think we may be trending there, is I think I am the one person that enjoyed Bryce Harper getting thrown out of that game. Because I think, not because he's not hitting.
No, and I didn't even know he got thrown out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in the middle with Topper and the whole arguing that was going on. I didn't realize it until, I'm like, he got thrown out.
He did swing there.
Yes, he did swing.
But he was mad at the call from three pitches
inside,
ago.
High inside pitch.
I just think the team needs a little more hothead Bryce on the field. I think they need a tinge of I've been saying this.
I wish I had thought of that.
The tinge of attitude?
Yeah, because you have been saying it. I would have tweeted that. I would have tweeted that out when he got thrown out.
Yeah. You've
been asking for that.
I like it. Look, I don't want to be dumb all the time, but there has to be a difference. I just think there has to be a combo between old Bryce and this Bryce, the sort of grown up, makes the blah blah blah. This Bryce who never gets in trouble doing anything, never says the wrong thing, never occasionally gets frustrated, runs hard at the wrong whatever it is. There's a difference between the way that Bryce was and the way that he thought, and there just has to be a middle there. And I bet the juice that Duran brings makes him want to be noticed a little bit more too. Like I don't think it's bad. I don't want him getting thrown out every game, but I kind
of
liked it.
So I would agree with most of that. The only difference I'll say is I think the Phillies teeter, not like the team and the fan base teeter on a feeling of, oh my God, everything is going really poorly. This is collapsing because it feels like the final run with this team. So I do think his emotion and getting thrown out at sometimes can come across as look how frustrated this team is. I mean, when he got thrown out, I mean, they were losing at that point, right?
Yeah.
So I think they came back
and won that game.
They came back and went and won the game, but I just think there is a thin line for Bryce where it can be, yes, he's motivating the guys, and man, this team is really losing it.
I agree. I think the difference with him, though, is I would rather see him frustrated like that than I would rather see him alive than mopey.
Agreed.
And he
it's
can
like
get
Joel.
Him,
I mean, I yes. keep thinking of Joel. Well, Joel yes. gets mopey.
Yeah,
I
don't
hate
want mopey,
saying
bro.
Spike is right. You know what I mean? Right. No one likes to say Spike is right, but if you're a teammate of Bryce's, that has to do a little something for yes. you as well.
Yes.
Right?
And, yeah. And even if I'm fine with him doing it for somebody else, too. I don't even get him thrown out all the time.
No,
but a little bit.
He usually doesn't, but it seemed like that. And listen, it's a Friday night. Yes. It's a high intensity game. It's a big series. Yeah. That's why I said I wish I had thought about it that night. Now you've been saying that.
Just a little bit more out of
it. Yeah, it was a series, though, where you leave it. I think probably feeling a little worse just because the bats again were so bad, but they weren't that bad.
Yeah. That was just yesterday.
That's
fair.
They really weren't. Yesterday
they scored 5 Friday.
They gave us the insurance run.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
Scooble.
But then they actually scored the most runs.
They scored
in that
3
game.
Runs. Well, they scored 5 on that game. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I felt like it took a while into the games. I don't know. It wasn't.
They got us the insurance run yesterday that we wanted to.
It was Schwarber.
And then one more thing before we get to camp, we did reveal our first Mount Rushmore at 2:30. There will be another one coming up at 3:30, the Mount Rushmore sandwiches. But Mount Rushmore at 2:30, the Sixers Mount Rushmore, as voted on by WIP listeners and staff, was Dr. J, Allen Iverson. Remember, this is the last 50 years.
This is
years.
In order.
Yeah. No.
No, it's Mount Rushmore.
It's just Mount Rushmore.
Oh, not top four.
Yeah. There's no order in Mount Rushmore.
It's not what your list.
No, I'm just curious because you said Dr. J. Iverson.
No, okay. Iverson got the most votes. And this is the last 50 years. So it's Iverson, Dr. J., Charles, and Joel Embiid.
I mean, Charles is not, like, he's more of a Sixer than Reggie is an Eagle, I guess, but he is,
oh my God.
He's still a son to me.
What's your?
That's just how I feel. I mean, growing up for me, Charles was a son.
If you lived here.
Well, if you know, I wasn't alive.
He was born in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. I wasn't, you know, following sports super closely when I was
like
6.
What's yours? What's yours? I can't wait to hear yours.
I mean, mine, honestly, I think you'll be disappointed. It's pretty basic.
Okay.
So I think it's Iverson, Dr. J, Embiid, and I would put Moses.
Moses, who only played 4 years here.
Yeah, but he had the faux thing, which I feel like is pretty cool.
Okay.
You know,
he's
he won a title here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I value titles.
You do. Sometimes.
But the Sixers is the easiest where you could have talked me into Wilt if we were doing all time.
Oh, no, he would have been on every we're doing all time.
Yeah, all
but
time.
I just think there's 3 very obvious ones, and then the other one you can figure it out.
Okay. All right. So first thing. So anything, well, I was going to ask you if anything notable happened to practice, but it seems like something did.
Can
I have to add, I didn't watch the video. I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch the video.
Oh, thank you. You could at least toss me a view.
Didn't read the article. Well, the way Twitter is, they get the view sitting there watching, reading your tweet anyway.
I can't wait. Yeah.
Well, no, I defend you in the training camp stuff. And then like you make it so hard sometimes. Okay. The Eagles offense needed a win. Mm. Jalen Hurts made sure it happened. Here is a breakdown of 2 plays on Monday that should have the Eagles confident they will once again get special QB play from Hurts in 2025.
Correct.
So, this seems like you are doing your best to make sure that you are going to be pro on him, even if his practices, by and large, are not that good.
No, it's not that. I could see why you would think that, but it really is.
What are those
when
2
you're
plays?
I know it reads like just 2 plays, but it really isn't when you're there. So today was an ultra competitive practice. And what Nick does is he sets it up where he'll put in situational football. And if the defense gets a stop, they get a point. If the offense converts in that situation, they get a point. And so what happens is you have both sidelines keeping score, you know, like the trash talking is happening. So it's intense, right? So today they had a series of plays where the offense got the ball at the 4-yard line. So when Jalen dropped back, he was essentially in his end zone. So it was 3-3 after first team, second team, and third team. So it was close. The offense had won some. The defense had won some. And then Nick was like, all right, it's a tie. We're going to do a 7th. And so go out there and we'll decide who wins. Everyone's like super into it. The music is playing. The defense is dancing around. The offense, Saquon's talking. So it was a big play. And Jalen dropped back, There was pressure. He found Devontae Smith for the first down. The offense wins the day. So to me, it's one play. But the positive there is last year we saw he was really good in third down last year. He was good in situational football last year for the most part. I would say for the vast majority. But there were definitely times he wasn't. But what it showed is ultimately Jalen's superpower to me is the guy just does things in situational football to win games. So when I say it was a play today that had them where they should feel confident, it's that play. And then there's another play to start practice. They're at the 2-yard line. So Jalen's once again in the back of his end zone and he converts a first down there for a pass. So when the spotlight's on in practice, Jalen does well.
When the spotlight's on in practice.
Yes.
Okay.
But again, I'm not saying this about a quarterback that is 500 for his career and has never won a playoff game. Like you saw last year, he steps up when it matters. So he did. He
No.
Last year, he definitely stepped up when they needed him.
Okay.
He did. What game did they lose because of him last year?
No, but they only lost 3 games last year.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, well, I think what Jalen does well is even when he's not having a great game, he makes big plays in big moments.
Okay.
Right. So that's why when I watch him practice today and it's intense, the music's playing, everyone's into it, and he makes a big play, that reminds me of last year and I think should have them confident, despite the fact he's not had a few good days of practice, that he's making big plays in the right situations.
Okay. My counter to that.
Excited to hear it.
You said in the red zone previous to today, he has not been very good. Aren't those red zone plays big plays in practice?
They are. So and he was not good in those.
So he failed in those.
Correct. I'm not saying he's 100% for the situation.
So the only ones that count, again, are the times that he comes through in the big plays.
No.
Because the times that he didn't don't seem to count as much.
They do count. That's why I gave him a D+ one day, and I gave him a C- the other
But
day.
You're saying that these two plays guarantee that he's going to have
Correct.
A special
I
year.
I think watching him today, in today's practice...
Do you understand the...
Well, but had we talked yesterday, or the day after the other practice, I would have said he's not being good in situational, he has to be better, like, I would say those things. But we're talking about today's practice.
Okay.
And so when I see him do things in practice today that are good in situational football, it to me, the Eagles probably left the field today feeling better about the offense than they have the past few days.
So what if in the next practice they do the exact same drill and he throws an interception?
That would be disappointing. And so I'd give him a poor grade.
So does that mean you are not confident that he's going to once again be a special again this year?
No, it'll take a lot for me not to feel confident in Jalen because he just won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So like when he's...
It just seems like...
I get what you're saying, that all drills are created equal, and if he's good in some and not in the other, they should all count the same, and I agree with that. But when he's had a few bad days, and then he has a really good day, to me, that's the takeaway is a reminder of why they should have confidence.
So you got a little down on him, you got a little concerned,
yeah,
and then he bounced back and had a good day, and that restores the faith.
Didn't like the responses to the D+ tweet.
I don't read my responses.
Okay. So right. Actually, smart by you. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. You've gotten much better about
that.
Kevin Petula was actually on the WIP morning show today. Here's what he had to say about Jalen.
Everybody talks about, you know, where he's at in his list and stuff. Is the guy just wins. Like, mm-hmm. He's done it different ways. And I think when you kind of sort of, let's say, count him out or something said, you know, will he do it? He does it. Right. And so I think you just can't underestimate him and his ability to make a play when he needs it. Right. I mean, he made critical plays in the Super Bowl. We had to throw the ball a little more, right? Because we ran it okay. And, you know, they were a good run defense. They're a really good defense in Kansas City. And he made plays when we needed him in the past game and scrambling and doing his thing. And that's, I think, the difference, you know, with him is he can just make plays, ordinary plays, and then just tremendous plays in different ways.
Can I tell you, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I agree with what you said and his ability to do that. I think where our difference comes in is I don't think that, to me, that does not elevate him in a ranking standpoint as much as you think it does. And I was trying to find a thing in sports that I feel to compare it to. It's difficult. And the only thing in sports I can compare it to that a player that has as much responsibility as a quarterback does in football is the primary player on a NBA team.
Yeah.
Right? And so I was thinking, we all agree Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is a different player than he is in the regular season. He has twice...
Playoff Jimmy.
He has taken a team that is not very talented at all, or not the same talent as the teams he's beaten, to the finals.
Yep.
That he does that in the finals. Mm-hmm. Now, he didn't win the finals. However, I would say that what he did is as impressive to me as many players who have won the finals. Mm-hmm. However, at no point during any of Jimmy Butler's career Have we ever had to have a conversation about Jimmy Butler being as good as Kevin Durant, or Jimmy Butler being as good as LeBron, or Jimmy Butler being a top five player? Everybody seems to be able to compartmentalize. And by the way, everybody agrees that Jimmy Butler's good at this. Mm-hmm. Everybody would say, hey.
I don't know if he's ever even been a top 10 player.
No, he's been an edge.
On so, a fringe, yeah. Yeah. So edge, top 10 edge, to 15. Top 10 player. Yeah, top 10, 15.
And here we are. We're all able to compartmentalize and say that, yes, during the playoffs, he is a different animal. During the regular season, he actually disappears for weeks at a time. He won't shoot threes.
Oh, yeah.
He's this, that, and the other. And by the way, like, that has held back his team from being able to win more games in the regular season, because he is. So that is the one. And no point, I'm sure there's person here and person there that says, you know, Jimmy should be top four, top five. But generally, everybody sort of accepts that Jimmy is this in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but overall, Jimmy is at the best, eighth best player. He's not anymore. But at his top, he was eighth or ninth mm-hmm. best player in the NBA. Now he's probably like 18th. And even to this point, people would still probably say, in the playoffs, I don't want to face Jimmy Butler. Yep. But I don't. Do you think he's one of the five best players in the NBA? Most people are like, no, of course not. So that is the best comparison I could find.
So I think it's a really good comparison. I do think Jalen, the reason we talk about him so much is because he's so unique. Like, it's not just a Philadelphia market thing. They talk about Jalen nationally all the time because it is very unique. A couple differences I would say is, one, we're saying Jalen's a top five quarterback. Jimmy, and I know it's different.
You say second best.
Correct. I agree, second best. But yeah. I'm saying Jimmy's compared to every player in the league. Like, I wouldn't say Jalen is a top five player.
That would
be maybe one difference.
Well,
now again, I would make the argument because of the position.
Because he's a quarterback.
Correct, yes.
So you would.
I think it's a good comparison.
Hold on, but to your point, though, there are some receivers or running backs that are better than quarterbacks.
Right.
Yes. So
it's not a more important position.
But if we're talking about him,
right.
He says because the quarterback is so important, that if you think somebody is the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, then that carries weight. Like, Justin Jefferson is probably a top five player in the NFL, just to use an example. But then there is the argument of a quarterback's job is harder. He carries more weight. So you're right. Like, Jimmy Butler is a good comparison.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. And so I guess what is your response to
that? So my response is that I'm not really 100% sure what I'm responding to, but what I would say is I have Jalen second because of a combination of resume and, like, skill, right? I agree with you off skill. He's probably fifth, sixth, like, in that discussion. And then he is. I mean, I truly think we underrate Jalen's skill a little bit.
Well,
because it becomes so much, and I do it, about his resume. But Jalen is an extremely talented player. Like,
I think he's talented, for sure.
Yeah.
So, final thing on Jalen, then we'll get to the other stuff, I promise.
It's fine.
Is the list came out from the, like, it's scouts and coaches and blah, 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 and they had him ninth.
They had him ninth.
And the NFL 100 is coming out right now, and we're up to 49. We haven't seen Jalen. By the way, it's possible he's not even on the list.
I don't think he'll be on the list.
So if the coaches and scouts tell you ninth, and the players tell you not even as good as Dak or Tua or all the, like, that must count for something.
It does.
Okay.
I think it just doesn't change my opinion, but it definitely counts for something. The players' top 100 list is my favorite list that's put out every year. I think people severely underestimate it. Everyone goes, oh, they're just the players, but they're the ones that actually scout and go against these. I think it's the best list. Now, I know some players don't take it seriously, which diminishes it a little bit.
I'm sure a lot don't.
But I've been in the locker room and seen players fill it out and they talk.
My only point is that you can go up and down this list, even just through the first 50 guys that they've named, and there are plenty of discrepancies there.
I think there's discrepancies.
Well, I'm just saying, so it's not like players have the absolute answer.
No,
all
I don't
the time.
Think they have the absolute answer.
Yeah.
It's just my favorite list of
sure.
the list that
okay.
come out. Now,
right.
But I think the
ESPN I'm just saying
one,
they aren't necessarily always the most qualified.
Right.
Because sometimes they're just, they may not have gotten a chance to play against a certain player.
So they don't even know.
Yeah, they didn't even know they didn't play that player
right.
that year.
Now, the ESPN list where Jalen's ninth, like, I have him higher. But I do agree that if there was a draft of players in the NFL, I do not believe Jalen would be one of the top five quarterbacks taken.
No.
So when he comes in ninth, now I would put him ahead of Goff and I would put him ahead of Stafford is where I would definitely disagree with that list. But again, like, Herbert, I think almost every team would take Herbert over Jalen.
Here's the problem. They would.
Yeah. Right.
But here's the problem. We aren't judging him just on talent. So, right, if they all came out in a draft, you didn't know what team they were on, they don't have an NFL resume, mm-hmm. then sure, his measurables may not be as good as theirs. Joe Montana's wasn't either. That's right. Why he was a third-round pick. Neither was Tom Brady's, yeah. which is why he was a sixth-round pick. But when you get to the league and you actually start playing, it's bigger than just your physical talents then. The resume has to count.
100%.
Like, your winning has to count.
I agree.
And I think with a lot of us that debate this, not even just us, but nationally, it gets convoluted because we're looking at talent and we're saying, okay, which one should weigh more? Which one should carry more weight? Should it be what he's leading his team to every year? Or is it how much of the weight he carries on his team?
Well, now, it is fair to say, though, I think probably Herbert aside, most of the quarterbacks in the top 10 win a lot of football games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in those lists. Now they haven't won Super
Regular
Bowls.
Regular season games.
Yes, yes.
Like, Jared Goff is not a postseason performer.
No,
like,
no,
some
no.
guys
yes.
aren't postseason performers.
I agree.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Great in the regular season.
Yep.
We all could look at Lamar and be like, man, he has more skill than Jalen.
Yep.
But for whatever reason, it hasn't translated
well
to winning in the postseason. And don't give me Patrick Mahomes, because Jalen has played against Patrick Mahomes twice.
No, I agree with that. But there was a tweet that was put out this week I thought was interesting, that if you look at the top three teams in winning one score games, I think it was Kansas City, Philly, and the Steelers in some order.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ravens were really far down the list in winning one score games. And the Ravens have a great defense. The Ravens have a great head coach. So I'm not like pinning that directly on Lamar, but with Lamar, for all the talent, I think the thing about him not winning is real. Like the playoff thing.
I think
the
close games.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
yes.
Because the other guys that we're talking about in that top five-ish, like Josh Allen's played well in the playoffs. Like,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And by the way,
Joe Burrow played well in the playoffs.
Josh Allen was not the end-all be-all, but he was rated higher as a skilled player in Madden than Mahomes was, which I thought was interesting.
Back to my top 100, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Who was voted as the most overrated player by his peers.
Yep.
I think there's some hating going on
well,
there. Yeah. 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 Like that's like some.
That's
but yes.
What I'm saying.
No, you're right.
You
you're
can't
right.
trust
you're
these players.
But every
sometimes.
List has bias.
Yep. All right. 215-592-9494.
How do they vote Josh Allen the most overrated player?
Well,
in the
certainly. Certainly, it came at a great time for him. I mean, the year before he won the MVP.
They must listen to OG's Knowledge Without College.
Yes, yes. Yes. Listen to the wrong show. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up next with Elliot, we will find out. Seems like there has been a new leader in the clubhouse for the third edge player.
Yes.
And we will get to that.
Ooh.
And another Mount Rushmore, 30 past every hour. The Mount Rushmore of sandwiches.
I can't wait for this one.
Is next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks with us on the first day of Mount Rushmore week. Phil's baseball back on WIP tonight and the free Odyssey app. Phil started a 3-game series with the Orioles, the disappointing Orioles. Got to keep winning series. You see that the fact that the Mets have been 500 since June 1st, and then you see the Phillies are one game over 500 since June 1st, and then you realize that one of these teams could have an 8-game lead in the division if one of these teams had been better over the last couple of months. So it's time for the Phillies to start taking advantage of, you know, the Orioles have not been good this year. Win 2 out of 3. You just got 2 out of, don't ruin the 2 out of 3 you got from the Tigers by blowing 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. Elliot, you ready for Mount Rushmore week, the second Mount Rushmore?
I just made my list.
Okay, so Mount Rushmore of sandwiches. All week, 30 past every hour, we will give you a new Mount Rushmore. We did the Sixers Mount Rushmore at 2:30. The Phillies Mount Rushmore will be tomorrow at 2:30. Here is what I consider the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches. Now, I want to be clear before I get to the list. This is not the Philadelphia sandwich Mount Rushmore. It is the overall sandwich Mount Rushmore.
You have to, yeah, distinguish that.
Yes, yes, it is the national sandwich Mount Rushmore. And what I'm going for is when people think of a sandwich, what are the most iconic sandwiches?
Yeah, so I'll hold.
All right.
Go ahead.
The first sandwich on the sandwich Mount Rushmore is the peanut butter and jelly.
So happy you put it.
It is the definition of it. It is what a sandwich is. It is peanut butter and jelly.
It's also extremely underrated.
It is. It's always good.
It's an amazing sandwich.
As long as the bread is good, It's hard to have a bad peanut butter and jelly.
Strawberry jelly, the best version of the jelly.
I like strawberry
jelly. Yeah, it's better than grape jelly.
I'm a grape guy, but fine with strawberry.
Do you do crunchy peanut butter?
Yes, always. 100% of the time.
Same.
As a kid, as I got older, I'd rather have a creamy.
Really?
Over the crunchy, yeah.
That's a clip.
Jack, I was going to say, Buzz, where are you at with that? Do you toast the bread?
I do not for peanut butter and jelly because it melts the peanut butter.
I've started to toast it and it's pretty good.
Okay.
I need to hear the rest of this list. I'm not sold on peanut butter and jelly.
Of course it's on the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches.
It's like the apple of fruits.
Yeah. All right. The second sandwich on the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches is the grilled cheese sandwich.
Nah.
Okay.
A grilled cheese sandwich, again, everybody grew up, you might have had 4 billion grilled cheeses.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
When I was growing up, they made like the George Foreman grill type thing for grilled cheeses. Mm. Like you would see a thing where you would, a mechanism that just made grilled cheeses that are sealed at the sides. Number two is the grilled cheese sandwich. Mm.
So the issue I have with that is it is dependent, I think, to a certain degree on tomato soup.
I don't like tomato soup. I'm not a grilled cheese and
tomato soup. That sandwich is known for being with a soup, whereas I think other sandwiches are dependent on, can be on their own.
The third sandwich.
Both.
What?
This Mount Rushmore better get better, man.
Well, dude.
Two sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly and grilled cheese.
They are iconic sandwiches.
You got to put peanut butter and jelly. Grilled cheese, I don't think you have to put on.
The third sandwich on the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches is the club sandwich. It is offered at every restaurant, and when a good... Now, there are bad club sandwiches. You know, like the thing where there's not enough turkey on it, there's not enough bacon on it, or there's too much bread. They put like 4 things of bread rather than 3.
Okay.
But a well-made... Now, I know I don't eat it anymore, but I did spend many, many years eating club sandwiches. A club sandwich is a staple. A club sandwich, the third sandwich on the Mount Rushmore sandwich.
Turkey, bacon, lettuce, and tomato?
Yes. And mayo if you want it.
Nobody eats mayo.
Well, a lot of
nobody
people
eat mayo. Eats mayo.
I definitely get mayo. Yeah. Every hoagie I get has mayo.
I was not a mayo guy, but
put on my cheese stick too.
Ugh.
Oh,
it's so good. Salt, pepper, ketchup, mayo.
Wait, you put mayo on an Italian hoagie?
Of course.
Oh, no.
There's not many sandwiches I eat without mayo. Okay. I mean, obviously peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, I was going to say peanut butter and jelly better
be grilled cheese, those two.
I just think the club is pretty inconsistent. I think if you, like, there's a lot of really bad, if I order a club, it's only good at like half the places.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Don't disagree. And because the last thing, the danger with the club is if there's not enough turkey on there, you have too much bread in the club, and then you're eating a bread and lettuce sandwich.
Also, lettuce is not good on sandwiches, and it's very dependent on lettuce. I'm not a lettuce guy.
I don't have to have lettuce, but I think if the lettuce is crisp and it's that makes that does
and there's
add
the
something
right
to
amount
the
of
sandwich.
It.
Yeah, but most clubs have like iceberg lettuce. It looks gross.
Iceberg lettuce is the best.
No, thank you.
And the fourth on the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches is a hot dog.
Nah, I knew you were going to do
this. Dude, I knew you were going to do this.
It is.
It's just not a sandwich.
This whole damn this whole list of sandwiches is pooey.
Name me something more iconic than a hot dog, than a bun with the hot dog in
there. It's not a sandwich.
It's
just not a sandwich.
It's not a sandwich.
Of course it's a sandwich. Here's why it's a sandwich, and this is all I need to do, is if you take the hot dog out, which is just meat in the middle of the bun, and you put turkey and cheese in there, is that a sandwich?
Yes.
No. What do you mean?
Turkey and cheese. Now, it's gross on a hot dog roll.
It's not a bun?
But it is a sandwich.
Of course it's a sandwich.
No.
So you're just taking out one meat and putting a different meat.
Yeah, but
of course it's a sandwich.
It's just common sense. A hot dog is its own thing. You don't see it under sandwiches on a menu. It's not like...
Well, don't tempt me, because there are plenty of restaurants that have hot dogs under the sandwich in the menu. The issue...
I don't know if that's true.
It
you're
is.
Just saying it. Like, like you have all these menus piled up. You're don't tempt me.
No, the truth is...
I'm not just going to concede that point. I don't think that's correct.
Think about a real menu. Where else is the hot dog going? It's not going...
The kids section, probably.
Honestly. That is where it's going.
The truth is, if there is a hot dog on the regular menu, the hot dog is with the sandwiches. It's not with certainly not with the soups. It's certainly not with the fish. It is with the sandwiches.
Like, you can
create a compelling argument, but we all just know logically. No one called a hot dog a sandwich until it became a viral question.
Until everybody
5 years
wanted
ago.
To be smart.
Until then, no one called it a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
I think that's not a great list.
It's a perfect list.
That is a terrible
list.
Did they
make a list, or are we only doing the one list?
No, we just critique his list.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a
I just came up with mine. Yeah.
Okay.
So number one is definitely the Italian hoagie. I think it is clearly the best hoagie. It is definitely the best sandwich. Like, Italian hoagie number one.
Well, all right. And you're including sub in that, because in many cities there's no hoagie.
Sure, whatever. Like a roll.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
There you go.
That is an elite sandwich.
Now that's an elite sandwich.
Yeah, that's an elite sandwich.
It's a good sandwich.
I have peanut butter and jelly.
No.
Okay. And then my other one.
Hold on. Peanut butter jelly is definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
You're wrong about that one. Again, like I said,
I'm outvoted, but listen, I don't.
It's probably the first sandwich ever.
No, first of all, neither one of you put a hamburger on your.
Well, a hamburger's not a sandwich either.
Well, if a hot dog's a sandwich, then
they're their own things. I think a hamburger is its own
thing. See,
this might now. See, this is where I jump off the Elliott bus.
Yeah. Well, how's
what
a hamburger
you mean a hamburger
sandwich?
Is not a sandwich?
There
what
it is.
Now tell me a hamburger is not on the menu side of sandwiches.
Of course it is.
It
with
is,
the hot
but
dog.
I just, but it's not.
You
in
got
the
menus piled up too.
It's not in the spirit of what we're talking about.
A hamburger isn't
no,
in the spirit.
No, I don't think it is. Now a chicken hoagie like with chicken cutlets, those are warm, and I would consider that a sandwich. But I think in
You'll
general,
you consider a chicken cutlet sandwich over a hamburger.
Yes, I would. A sandwich, yeah.
Now, first of all, this is America. It's the number one sandwich in America.
We are the king
of the hamburger in the world.
Look, I'm with you, but I think it's the
Take
same category
peanut
as
butter
a hot
and
dog.
Jelly off of there.
No.
Get
no,
that
no,
damn
no.
hot dog off of there for sure, and
well,
put
I agree
a burger
with you
on there. Okay, I'll give y'all peanut butter and jelly. You put hamburger on there.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty against the hamburger being a sandwich, but the fourth one for me. This is a bit like. Yes. A beach sandwich. Like when you eat a sandwich on a beach.
That's not a sandwich.
I know.
It's not a sandwich.
It's more of a sandwich than a hamburger.
No, but
that's a place to
that
eat
right
a sandwich, not
catch
the sandwich
anyone
itself.
Eating a hamburger on the beach.
Yeah, what? This isn't the Mount Rushmore of places to eat a sandwich.
But I think a beach sandwich is its own thing. Like it is.
What is it in?
Honestly, it's probably normally turkey with chips on it. It's a great sandwich.
That's why we should have waited until he was out of here.
Yeah.
Well, a hamburger's absurd.
Now he's bringing
well,
up.
Would you say a cheesesteak's a sandwich?
Yes.
Yes.
I have to think about that one.
And the only reason it's not on the Mount Rushmore is because we included the whole country. But we all know here the cheesesteak.
I think there's something about
it. Should be on the Mount Rushmore sandwiches.
Yeah, it's just not. Not as a country.
I agree with you.
In Philadelphia, it would be.
I got me over here second guessing myself about this hamburger, and I know damn well that's a sandwich.
Of course, it's a sandwich.
And it's just not a sandwich.
And here's the
Twitter poll.
Real quick thing. Go ahead, Buzz. Get it done.
Don't put my name in it.
Last thing on. Yeah. It's easier to get an honest.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Because they'll disagree with anything that you say.
Ike says a hamburger's a sandwich. Do you agree with that?
That's definitely cheating. Like, it could say, Ike says a hamburger drove him to work today. Do you believe him?
Yeah.
One thing that's happened in Philadelphia over the last, I think it's the last 20 years, is everybody here has convinced themselves that the real sandwich of Philadelphia is the roast pork sandwich, not the cheesesteak. Is psychotic.
It's a cheesesteak.
It's obviously a cheesesteak. Roast pork sandwich is good, but the real sandwich in Philly is a cheesesteak. Yeah.
Have I ever had a roast pork sandwich?
Glenn's
contest. I think I may have had a roast
pork
sandwich.
I'm sure he's
sandwich.
Done that. Yes. Well, but people here have convinced themselves of that.
Can I give you a cheesesteak take or no? We'll just move on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You're killing us. Go ahead.
I think the best version of a cheesesteak is a cheesesteak wrap.
Oh, this is your
cheesesteak wrap?
Yeah,
like you're talking about like a wrap?
Yeah, like a wrap on a cheesesteak.
No.
I think that's the best version of a cheesesteak. Like the cheesesteak itself.
Because
you can taste the meat and cheese better on that than you can when it has a huge roll on it. And like the roll dominates the taste.
You got to eat it with the right kind of roll.
Yeah,
None of them are as thin as a wrap. No, the roll is not what makes the sandwich. I think it's a cheesesteak wrap. A cheesesteak wrap, ketchup, mayo, fried onions.
Ketchup!
Well, you don't put ketchup?
Nothing wrong
I
with
don't,
ketchup.
No.
Yeah. I don't see anything
Surprise.
Wrong with ketchup.
I don't eat anything on a cheesesteak sandwich.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Onions and green peppers.
Green peppers.
Green peppers.
Yeah, green peppers.
No,
yeah.
You got
I mean,
out
I'm
of
sure
here
it's
with
good,
green peppers.
But it
yeah.
feels wrong.
Well, I'm just telling you what I'm just
no,
telling
more power
somebody
to you.
Eats mayo and ketchup
yeah,
on
well,
a
that's
sandwich.
Way more basic like, than green peppers.
Well, the green peppers is...
I'm an onions and green peppers guy.
I just feel like that's your Ohio coming through, putting the green
yeah.
peppers
probably
on
is.
There. Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't Jack eat mustard on his?
I don't know. I
think
know.
He does.
Yeah, he does. That was a thing a few years ago.
Hold on. Sweet peppers.
Yes, sweet peppers
but
fine.
But they're green.
Yes. Well, they're green. Some are green, some are red.
Right.
You're not talking about like green bell peppers
no,
or whatever.
No,
okay.
I'm talking about
that makes
sweet
more
peppers.
Sense. Okay,
yes.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
If you go to other cities, a lot of times what they'll do is, first of all, say cheesesteak sandwich on the menu, and they will put regular green peppers on there, which is always wrong.
That's gross.
Yes. All right.
Green peppers are good, though.
Tasty. Training camp.
Yes.
Seems like Josh Uche has separated himself a bit from the other edges below Jalix and
Nolan
Smith.
I mean, interesting what happened today is Jalix Hunt practiced today and Josh Uche was with the first team. Now, I don't think they will. I think snap one, week one, it will be Jalix Hunt out there with Nolan Smith barring an injury. But it was just interesting to see Josh Uche out there today in over Jalix Hunt. Jalix Hunt was with the second team. And Josh Uche has had a good few days of practice. I think he got a slow start to camp. He didn't really stand out the last few days. But I would say in the past three practices, he probably has three sacks, and one of which was a strip fumble. So he's been really good. We got to talk to him 2 days ago. He does seem like you can just... With the rest of the position pretty young, he does come across like a very veteran guy, and it makes sense. He's been through a lot, like, in his NFL career. He's been traded. He's had good years. He's had bad years. So you can, I think, sense the maturity in him knowing what he's going into. So, yeah, Josh Uche has been awesome. Azeez Ojulari, not so much. He has not really stood out.
Is there a chance he doesn't make the team?
So they gave him $3 million, okay. And I think that guarantees him a roster spot. I think they'd have to trade for somebody in order not to have him, but I think he's not stood out to me. He also, to my eye, doesn't look ultra athletic in person. Like, it looks like he doesn't move well along the edge, in my opinion. Now, he's had sacks in the NFL. He's had success, so maybe it'll, you know, when he plays, he'll be better. But I think Uche's been the clear-cut better of those two.
I find that surprising on Ojulari, actually, because I thought he was going to come in, and he... You know, everybody looks good when you get a sack, and he got enough of them with the Giants that when you see it, you're like, oh, this guy has something. But, you know, if you can't, no offense to who's there in camp beneath Jalix Hunt, even including Jalix Hunt, like, if you cannot flash amongst these guys, like, if you can't show some sort of potential amongst these guys, I think that matters.
Well, and I think the Eagles gave, I think Uche got maybe $500,000 or something like that. And Ojulari got $3 million. So they let you know with their wallet who they were more excited about.
Sure.
And clearly, I think Uche has been better.
Yeah, it's hard. And I appreciate all your camp updates because you're out there. You got your eyes on everything. But with this defense, man, Vic, it's hard to, I guess, figure out his coaching method and his madness to what he's doing. Because he'll have one guy go with the first team for a couple days, and the next guy's going.
Well, great example, not to interrupt, but today, Smile Mondon Jr., the rookie out of Georgia, was with the first team defense, and Jahad Campbell got some reps with the one, but he did some reps with the third team, too. So he does move guys.
He moves guys
around,
man. Yeah. And I'm just going to have to, based off what he did last year, because I thought I had a read on something based on what was going on. Then it's like, okay, when we got to the season, when they got to Barcelona, they got to Spain.
Yeah.
Brazil.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, Barcelona is in Spain.
It's the kit. I got the Barcelona kit.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Yes. But you saw things differently. So I guess I'm going to have to just wait till this thing plays itself out. Because one guy may look like he has the edge, and I don't know what Coach Fangio is actually looking for.
Just ask Devin White how much practice reps matter.
He was with the first team the entire camp,
and then they cut him at the end.
Did he not make it into the season?
No, he did.
He never got active.
He was essentially cut.
One of my better predictions was at some point.
He's not going to be here.
I was like, that guy's not going to play a snap.
But I do think Smile Mondon Jr. even getting first team reps is pretty impressive. I mean, he was a mid-round pick. He's missed time in camp with an illness. I think if they didn't have Jahad Campbell, and they actually have a ton of linebackers to be excited about, but I think Smile Mondon Jr. is a player. I think he will be an NFL starting linebacker. Probably won't be here, but I do think he is a player.
NFL starting linebacker.
I do, yeah. I do.
Well, I don't know. I'm just
after
saying.
Campbell
he
moves
started
to edge.
At Georgia for
after
three.
Campbell moves to edge.
Well, you laugh about that, but he is taking snaps at edge now.
Yes, and
some snaps, and he's not doing well with
and
it.
Yeah,
but still.
Vic said he wasn't good at it.
Agreed. They got to coach him up.
Yeah,
I didn't say he'd be an edge this year. Just putting that out there. I said his ultimate home will be edge. But he has been awesome at linebacker,
I will say. Leave the edge stuff alone so we can be happy about Jahad Campbell.
We can be happy he can do both.
No. Because when you start throwing the edge stuff out there, you make people think that's what he's doing and that's what he's supposed to be good at. And he struggles with that. He struggled at it in college
as well, which is why he got moved.
Yep,
100%.
He is a great off-the-ball linebacker that can run sideline to sideline. Uh-huh. Well, I'm just saying where he flashes.
No, I agree.
He flashes at his natural position.
Correct. But I think where they ultimately want him is at edge. But regardless, he has been awesome at linebacker. Like, he has been better.
Guess what? They're going to find out, ultimately.
Maybe they will. You're right.
Because you can say you want somebody to be somewhere, but if he's not, if it's not natural to him,
I agree.
And he plays faster playing this way, why force him?
He might stay at linebacker because he's not good at edge. I agree with you on that. But I think they want to try it.
I didn't say he wasn't good at edge. I just said he's a better off-the-ball linebacker.
Right now, I would agree with that.
He's not an outside pass rusher, and there's a difference. It's a difference of having raw athletic ability and just rushing outside versus having pass rushing moves.
No, I agree
moves,
with all that, yeah.
Using your hands,
yep.
Having a counter move.
100%.
Like, those are things that pass rushers have in their repertoire.
And he does not have that. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
And they would have to coach him to be an edge rusher. I agree with you. We can move on from that.
I'm good.
As a linebacker.
I love the kid.
No, but let me tell you.
Yes.
With, you know, the loss of Chauncey, I think people have talked about with, you know, the physicality and all. Jihad, I don't think, has Chauncey's personality, to be clear. But Jihad,
that's okay.
Jihad does things in practice that I'm surprised someone on the offense hasn't hit him yet. Just because he is...
And I remember when you said he hit Goddard.
He hit Goddard. He got up on Saquon. Yesterday, you know, Anais Smith, who's like my size, so it's, you know, it's easy to do. But like, Jihad Campbell picked him up at the end of a pass that he knocked out and then like put him down. I like it, and I think Jihad is going to hit somebody in a game this year that's going to get people really excited. I'm just a little surprised in practice the offensive players haven't been like, all right, man, you know, we get you want to make a thing, but we're six-year veterans that are all pros. Like, don't hit us in practice.
Yeah. You made the team. You're first round.
Yeah, you're going to start, too. So.
Well, I tell you what, all it takes is for somebody over there to get irritated.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we haven't had a fight yet.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
I mean, he knocked Goddard to the ground. I was just surprised no one got up and hit him.
A.J. Brown, hamstring issue. I saw what Garofalo said, that it wasn't, he didn't think it was serious.
Yeah, I mean, A.J.'s been out there every day. He's moving around. He's not practicing, but I feel like normally if an injury's bad, the guy's not out there, or just like the demeanor is different. He looks fine. The day I would put on it is Saturday. So they're out there tomorrow. They don't practice Wednesday because they play, or they have a walkthrough on Wednesday. They play on Thursday. They're off Friday. Saturday would be the first day where if he's not out there, then he's clearly dealing with something. But they have a full month. I mean, it's a month until from today, actually.
Yeah,
from,
I just don't like soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
It also prevents him from a cardio standpoint.
Yeah.
It prevents him from being in that sort of shape that you would want him to be
in. And he missed time last year with the hamstring. He had the knee issue in the playoffs. So
yeah.
Not great.
All right. Well, great job, Elliot.
Wow.
As always.
Now? Okay.
Well... We're gonna do this on the air?
Like, no. I just surprised. Yeah.
I don't know.
It just flies by. It flies by.
You got anything else you want to throw out
there?
Yeah.
Anything else? Anything else?
How about Reed? Not Reed. Cooper.
So here's
Big talking about Cooper at safety.
Here's an interesting dynamic, and you have this in my head. If Cooper is the starting safety next year, is he currently taking his podcast mate's job?
Oh yeah, he would.
Oh yeah.
Right?
What happens to the pod?
Yeah,
what happens like, to the exciting?
Might not be so exciting
mics.
When Reed's playing in Buffalo. And yeah.
Who's the white guy that's going to take Reed Blankenship's spot in the pod?
Well, hold on, fellas.
Yeah,
they can still do the pod.
Well, they do it together though.
How does Travis and Jason do it virtually?
Yeah.
Although I guess it's also called exciting mics.
Yes. So it doesn't have to be a white guy?
Well, I'm saying, yeah. It's not called the exciting whites.
Well, we don't need to get squeezed
out of that. I'm going to stay out of
that. Yeah, okay.
Like I said, we don't need to get squeezed out of that.
All I want to let Cooper know is I am a white guy.
You're available.
I am exciting.
Talk Jalen with him for 45 minutes every pod.
It doesn't say exciting football players. That's all I'm saying. There's a new Go Birds pod in their feed right now.
Correct. The post-practice pod is out. So go into more details about today.
Okay, so there is a post-practice pod every day, and in addition to Go Birds Daily, which you can get wherever you get your podcasts. Great job, as always, Elliot.
Fun times.
We'll have to check in with you. Oh, you'll be here tomorrow, so you can give your Phillies Mount Rush. Tomorrow's Phillies Mount Rush.
Can't wait.
Oh, God.
Everyone waits to see.
Can't wait. Mike Schmidt,
the greatest Philly and greatest third baseman
now,
of all time.
Now, he's a Philly. I will say that. He is a Philly.
He is a Philly.
Yeah, he's a Philly.
All right.
Is Carlton a Philly? Yeah, or is he a Cardinal?
Well, I found out last year, apparently he's not, because I put him on, everyone lost their mind.
No, they didn't lose their mind.
Yeah, no one even
Carlton
pretended
on
like
there.
He would belong.
No, that is not what happened.
Yeah, definitely
it is not what happened. All right. 215-592-9494. Get your calls on the Phils and the Eagles. Coming up next, two separate athlete versus podcaster wars.
It's a lot of that going
on. Yeah, I like it. I like it. We're making our name for ourselves. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.